This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you or a loved one have been a victim of domestic violence, help is available. Speak with someone today. You can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available in English, Spanish, and over 200 languages through Interpretation Service. You can dial them at 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233 or text BEGIN, that's BEGIN, to 88788. WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, LA Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production. Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis, and for all you dads out there, you know, I hope you had an incredible Father's Day weekend. Now, for those that know or don't know, I don't have any biological children. However, I'm an uncle and granduncle many times over, so me and my grandniece hung out in the New York City, actually. We took the ferry over, which I had never done before. Took the New York City ferry, and I urge you, if you're ever in New Jersey and want to get to New York City pretty quickly, I would urge you to take the ferry. It's really, really cool. You get there literally in about maybe 7 to 10 minutes, if that. It was pretty awesome. You know, we spent the day, you know, talking, eating some really good food, walking around. It was a really beautiful day in New York City. And of course, got a chance to hang with the missus, the queen. Did a little driving around and just a little bit of relaxation, what we definitely needed. And it was awesome to do that. But, you know, this past Saturday, you know, I had an opportunity to watch, you know, Clash at the Castle, you know, WWE that took place in Scotland. And I love these PLEs that are in the afternoon stateside so I can, you know, enjoy the rest of the day. But, you know, Gabby is returning to the show this week, you know, the matriarch of the D-Loop Podcast when it comes to the world of professional wrestling. And her and I, you know, we're going to recap the entire show, you know, in regards to all the matches, you know, what happened, you know, afterwards and what this means going forward for the Money in the Bank. And of course, all the roads leading up to SummerSlam. All right. Let's not wait any longer. The recap show for Clash at the Castle starts right now. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, Gabby is gracing us with her presence. Thank you for coming back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good on this fine Wednesday morning as we're recording this. And I got to be honest with you, you know, the last couple of days of pro wrestling has been out of this world, can we say?
Yes.
And we have a lot to cover and a lot to go over. You know, obviously this past Saturday afternoon, if you're stateside, you know, on the East Coast, you know, it was Clash at the Castle that was over in Scotland. And I got to be honest with you, and we keep saying this on the show, and I'm sure a lot of other, you know, pro wrestling creators and podcasts are saying the same thing, is that the energy of these crowds and these PLEs overseas has just been nothing short of extraordinary. Like, they really give it their all when it comes to their appreciation for the product. I mean, I don't know.
They want them to come back. I mean, you know what I mean? Right. Like, they're like, okay, sure, we gave you this pay-per-view. Show me what you can do. Like, it's their chance. Like, imagine a Mania overseas. Like, I'm sure it's going to happen soon, but like I feel like this is kind of like baby steps, and like they're kind of planting the seeds to see, okay, what can we do here? So show out. I
Well,
love it.
yeah. Well, Triple H did tweet back, because I know when the mayor of London was running, and he tweeted Triple H. He's a hag, and I'm running, for mayor. If I win, we can get WrestleMania over here. He said, "Let's talk." And I think it's really about a dollars and cents. What could you offer us to come over there for WrestleMania? Because I think it's not even a matter of cities bidding anymore. It's about
Absolutely.
countries, and that's the difference between the former regime and now the new regime headed up by Nick Khan. So kudos to World Wrestling Entertainment for all that they're doing. But I want to talk about, obviously Clash at the Castle again, that took place at the OVO Hydro in Glasgow, Scotland. I mean, over 11,391, but it sounded like 31,391
Absolutely.
in that arena. And when the pre-show was about to close, you saw AJ Styles getting ready and Cody Rhodes getting ready. I'm like, oh,
We're
they're
opening.
opening the show. Because I kind of figured that it was going to be Damian Priest and Drew that was going to close. But obviously, Drew being the countryman, he was going to close. But I thought that maybe Cody and AJ were going to co-main. But no,
No,
they
so
opened.
remember how Bully and Busted Open always says, like, if you're on a show, you want to open or you want to close. Everything in the middle is great, don't get me wrong, but he
Very
always
true.
mentioned like you need to hop on those bookends. So it kind of it made sense to me, like you when you like look at again, Drew being home, Drew's gonna close out the show, so you might as
Right.
well open with AJ and Cody. So it kind of made sense to me if you think about it that way, your bookends of the show.
Agreed. I mean, and keep in mind, guys, this was an I Quit match, for the undisputed WWE Championship. And let me tell you, when Cody had showed a picture of him and his mom on the plane flying to Scotland, I'm like, is this how he loses the title? Because I remember a certain mom being at ringside during an I Quit match about almost 30 years ago at Survivor Series 94. Helen Hart was she because you have to throw in the towel. You know what I mean? That was
Yeah.
the thing. That was you'd have to throw in the white towel
Little
because you're
teases,
supposed
little
to, it
things
was a little
like that,
teaser.
just
That's what I'm
like.
saying. So I'm wondering, is Mama Rhodes gonna throw in the towel, is gonna, force her, say, I quit, or throw in the towel for a son? That's what I was wondering. And I mean, from open and tap, I mean, these guys, I mean, just go with throwing haymakers. And I mean, they were really going at it. At one point, there's chairs and there's handcuffs and there's all these other stuff.
AJ said, FYI, I'm still that guy in case you forgot. Like, I know they don't book me like I used to, but like, in case you needed a fresh reminder, I'm still that guy.
He
AJ had on a
is.
hell of a match.
Absolutely. And I mean, just looking at the physicality of it, and is there it, because everyone thinks that AJ is the flippy floppy guy and he can do the technical wrestling, but hey,
People
the dude
forget.
can brawl. He can
People
brawl. I mean,
forget.
hey, listen, when you wrestled in Japan and you were a top guy in Japan
Literally
wrestling
was about to say
strong
that.
style, that says a lot about you. So he could definitely take the punishment as well as dish it out. But oh man, what's my train of thought? But again, when he had the handcuffs, and I'm thinking, obviously, they can't do chair shots or anything, but Cody was able to get out of the handcuffs, and he was, chair shots, to the ribs and all these other things in the match. And the crowd is behind him. And by the way, let me just say, for fans out there that were saying that, oh, that the crowd is going to turn on Cody and the crowd's going to turn on Cody, it ain't happening.
Yeah. If it
It's
does,
not
not anytime
happening.
soon.
No. It's not happening, because when you have a crowd singing your theme song before the ring announcer has the opportunity to even introduce the combatants in the match, that says a lot. When Cody's bringing the little kids into at house shows, especially, he's bringing the little kids to do the whoa, that's that John Cena. And again, this is no disrespect to John Cena, because I think that Cody Rhodes is that John Cena type baby face. You
Absolutely.
know what I mean? That white meat baby face that's gonna, kiss babies and walk the
Literally.
old lady across the street. Like, that's the type of baby face that he is. I'm sure John Cena may have had little kids in every now and then, but Cody is really going above and beyond, not only giving out his weight belt, but also you know, letting the little kids that dress like him. And there's a lot of little kids that dress like
the little
him.
Coats.
Let me tell you something. The ultimate entrance for Cody Rhodes, I swear to you, it'll be a little bit of a John Cena WrestleMania 25 entrance. Can you imagine having about 100 little kids dressed like Cody Rhodes?
Lining it, yep.
Lining up down the aisle to welcome him in at WrestleMania. Now, that would be cool if Absolutely. They were to somehow pull that off. Triple H, if you're hearing me, if you listen to this podcast, probably not. You know, do it. I don't care. I ain't getting the royalties for it. But anyways, Cody Rhodes, you know, obviously he has AJ in the corner handcuffed. Cody Rhodes has the stairs. And before you know it, AJ Styles says, "I quit." Oh, and before I go there, you know, when AJ was yapping off at the mouth at Cody Rhodes' mom, and what did she do? She slapped the hell out of him.
Multiple
slapped
times.
Him. Slapped him. And I mean, it reminds me of in the old days, if they said if you could piss off the older our older generation,
oh yeah, he's
at ringside, especially as a heel, you got him. I was just talking to a gentleman that I interviewed yesterday, of talking about how my grandmother, when she, you know, she bought into how she hated Ric Flair when I was growing up. She used to throw shoes at the TV or turn down the volume whenever he would talk. You know what I mean? That if you're a heel,
they were in. They were locked in.
When you're pissing off the our elders, so to speak, and I don't like to say old, but our elders, yeah, but then you're doing the right thing.
You've won.
You've won, absolutely. So, and I'm thinking that that we were going to see the OC come out to cause some type of interference. That wasn't the case.
Yeah,
I was very surprised about that. Your thoughts?
So it was a great match. Again, I think it was kind of to prove AJ Styles still has it. I know he's mentioned before, like he's on the kind of right there of like wanting to wrap up his career. And I think that he just needed to show the world, like, yo, I still got it. Like, I understand they don't book me the way they normally book me. But I can still go, even at my old age.
And I mean, and he's a year older than me. Think about this for a second. When the Red and Yellow Man was in the match against The Rock, he was turning, he was 48. You know what I mean? When Flair won the 16th title, he was turning 50. That was in 199. He was 50.
Yeah.
AJ Styles is 47 and is still going. Bobby Lashley is 47, great. 48 years old. And they're it's this generation is just different. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact on how this generation of wrestlers now, I guess we're kind of tweeners because we had a lot of the 80s and the 90s and the type of thing. But I just think some of the older wrestlers now took care of their bodies, took care of their health. They didn't do drugs. They didn't drink.
They didn't do the roids.
They didn't smoke. They didn't do a lot of that stuff. They weren't damaging their bodies like the generation before it. 100%. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to do now on the road. You know what I mean? So it just really goes to show you that you're going to see a lot of wrestlers, you know, wrestle way into their 50s. Hopefully. Because of how they're able to, you know, take care of themselves and preserve their bodies.
Work smarter.
And working smarter, not harder. Absolutely. But an interesting tidbit that happened after the match, because when they kept having the camera on Cody Rhodes, I said, something's happening. And who do you know? What do you know? Suge Knight himself.
So he thinks.
Solo Sikoa comes out. He's clapping his hands. Like, yeah, Cody. Yeah, I see you won this time. But they get in each other's face. And then all of a sudden, you got the Gorillas of Destiny coming out to jump Cody, which was really crazy considering that they were Bullet Club, you know, Bullet Club mates back in the, you know, once upon a time. So all of a sudden, you see Randy Orton and Kevin Owens come out for the save. They do that. You know, they even up the odds. And, of course, the Bloodline, they run away. But Randy Orton just did a little bit of this. Took that title, looked at that title. And it's going to be one of those instances where I believe one or two things are going to happen at Money in the Bank. While they're going to get a WWE Championship match between Solo Sikoa and Cody Rhodes, which I cannot see happening. I just don't think that Solo has done enough.
Yeah, I agree.
He hasn't done enough, in my opinion.
And I don't think it'll be a good match.
I don't say it would be a good match. I just don't think that the story is too soon for that. Again, I'm not writing the show. This is just an opinion piece. Mm-hmm. But I just think that what I thought the wise thing is going to be a six-man tag at Money in the Bank. Because let's face it, Cody has defended the title in France, Saudi, Scotland. You know what I mean? But he's defended. I mean, he is truly the world champion for real.
I don't want to say give him a throwaway match, but give him a throwaway match. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, I don't know. I don't think him and Solo. I don't think Solo.
No.
I mean, Solo's record is trash.
No, it doesn't deserve that. But I mean, everyone's been complaining. No, I can't say everyone. I would just say a small margin of the IWC. They're saying, oh, well, Cody, they don't have enough heels lined up for Cody. They don't have these matches are just kind of like, eh. They're right on one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, look, everyone's been conditioned for the last 3.5 years, 1,300, whatever days that Roman was the champion, that Roman only defended the title just a few times a year because mm-hmm. he was barely there.
Right.
But then they were all complaining, well, our champion's not here enough. So they're never satisfied. So they're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Right. That small pocket and all, and just like, oh my God, I forgot who said it on a podcast. Eric Bischoff said it. It's the IWC versus the paying customer. You always go to the paying customer at the end of the day of what they're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Put your money where your mouth is. That's where it goes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I think having Cody defend in this instance against Solo Sikoa, I just don't think would be wise because, again, there hasn't been enough equity built up in Solo as a Solo, no pun intended, competitor to get a WWE Championship match. So I think a six-man tag would make sense at Money in the Bank. Now, maybe, just maybe, the bloodline goes over, maybe with an inadvertent hit from Cody to Orton. To quote Ocho Cinco on Nightcap, stay with me now. Stay with me now. Let's just say if Cody hits Orton or whatever, or let's just say he tried to hit the Cody cutter on Solo, but pushes Randy in front of him and he hits Randy instead.
Mm-hmm.
Push Cody out the ring and they pin Orton 1-2-3. Then all of a sudden, Orton strikes Cody. And then you have Cody.
Then we get that going. Yeah, that makes sense.
Get at SummerSlam. And that's why I think you can really tell some stories because now we're talking about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, I even said when Cody first came back, I said, man, if he was the feud with Randy Orton, they can go so deep into that story and talking about, and Randy just talking about, I taught you everything you needed to know and you walked out on me. You walked out on this company.
Mm-hmm.
What did I ever teach you? And not coming from a bitter place or a jealous place, but more like a disappointed right. big brother that he never had a chance to tell him. And now he said, I'm going to prove to you that I'm still better than you because I'm going to beat you at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship.
Yep.
Again, we're just fantasy booking here, but that's how I could definitely see this going with Cody going on forward. Final thoughts on this Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles, and before we move on.
I wouldn't be mad if they ran it back.
AJ? I
wouldn't be mad if they ran it back, yeah.
Now, you figure they had a singles match.
Mm-hmm.
They had a cage match. Mm-hmm. Not cage match. They had an I Quit match. What type of match would you do?
I don't know. But I wouldn't be mad if they ran it back.
If they would have done something like this, if this would have been, I don't know, another regular match again, and they had outside interference double the, especially the fact that they're opening the pay-per-view or the PLE, whatever you want to call it. There should have been an instance where, all right, double disqualification, no contest, that can lead to a steel cage match the next time. If they were to run it back again, I think if you're going to have matches that you're going to run back, there has to be obviously a beginning, a middle, and an end. And what's going to matter the most is how you end it. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to be etched in your mind when you're talking about, oh, well, that steel cage match was brutal. That steel cage match was bloody. You know what I mean? That's the thing. So only time will tell.
But then also, like, I just want to see AJ go out on top. Personal thing. Like, I want him to, you know what I mean? That's just my personal thought. So, like, I guess my question would be, like, where does AJ go from here?
Well, it was announced that he is wrestling on Pro Wrestling Noah's card on July the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to Japan, which I think is nice. It'll give his face a rest. Okay? Because, I mean, as far as I know, he's still contracted with WWE.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. He's just saying, going nowhere. Like...
Yeah. And I think, if anything else, you know, he comes back and they may move on to something else. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe it could be something where he may get him a few with LA Knight.
Yeah.
I believe LA Knight wins that United States title at SummerSlam. Just my opinion. And I think that'll be a good feud for LA to kind of really start getting the engines going. Because I don't want to say they cooled him off a bit, but I just think that because of all that was going on with Rock and Roman and Cody and, you know, WrestleMania, he kind of got lost. I don't want to say too lost in the shuffle, but just a tad, mm-hmm. you know, because there's so much to focus on with all these stories being told. Because let's face it, everybody in WWE has something to do now, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, so next we have a triple threat tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships with the champions Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill defending against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark and Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Let me just first say, you know, my sincere condolences goes to Alba Fire, who lost her mom last week. You know, she was struck by a car in Florida. And the fact that Alba Fire wrestled, she did the appearance on SmackDown, and she wrestled on Saturday. You know, you have to be mentally tough to endure that and go out there and wrestle, you know, a match, and you got to fly to your homeland where your family is. It's like, I can't even imagine, you know, what she was going through mentally, you know, within that whole deal.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It takes a different type of person to shut out the outside world.
Yeah.
And get in that ring.
It was amazing. I wasn't even sure she was going to even wrestle, but I'm sure if she would have granted that time, I'm sure Triple H and they would have figured out a way. They would have done something to help her out or whatever the case, but that was her decision, I'm sure, to do. And being in a different company now, that's what I'm saying. I'm not even giving the previous regime, you know, a thought, because that, I mean, obviously, I'm sure VKM would have like, well, you're going to this trip regardless. But I think Hunter would have been like, okay, let's try to figure this out. And but I'm sure they did the right thing. But again, with these type of matches, you know, anything can happen. You know, I don't expect, you know, the technical wrestling happening, because it's a triple threat match, tag team match at that. So everybody got their shine, you know, every wrestler shine. Now everybody was walking away talking about the slip that happened on the rope with Jade Cargill when she tried to do the springboard. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just explain this to you. Let me and Gabby explain to you. In the wrestling ring, anything can happen. Anything can happen in there, whether it's a slippery rope, if the ropes were loose. Because as a matter of fact, there's a video of AJ Styles telling the referees that something was wrong with the ropes.
In the first match.
In the first, right. They opened the mat. They opened up the show. So that just really goes to show you that, sure, she can't wrestle, yada, yada, yada. I mean, guys... For you guys out there, and that say that somebody can't wrestle, you couldn't wrestle your way out of a wet paper bag. You can't wrestle your way out of the freaking big bag of chips that you eat out of in your mom's basement. Yeah, I said it. Because I am sick and tired of every time that a wrestler screws up in the ring that, you know, you want to point it out. Wrestling, granted, it is choreographed. It's like dancing. We get it. But in a real life fight, I've been in a few. I've been in a lot. I won a few and I lost a lot. I'll be first to admit it. But fights aren't supposed to be pretty. Fights aren't supposed to be this perfect.
It's magical. Hey,
I'm going to punch you here and you're going to uppercut me here. That's not how it works. So for fans that was, you know, shitting on Jade Cargill, and they were waiting, chomping at the bit
absolutely
for something to happen. Because, oh, well, she was in AEW. Oh, yada, 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 because she didn't do nothing. Let's stop.
Life happens. Mistakes happen. I don't even want to say it's a botch because, like, it was literally no one's fault that the ring, nobody. You know what I mean? Like, it's life. Things happen. Like, y'all got to relax. At the same time, she also, what, did a double slam, picked up two humans, and, like, come on now. Like, in that same match, like, I need you all to, like, relax a little bit because you could not hold a candle to anyone on NXT. No shade NXT, much less Jade Cargill. So I need you to relax.
Yeah, that was, and again, and I didn't want to be negative Ned about this, but at the same time, at the same time, it's like, yo, come on, man. Like, you could clearly see the difference of how she's working now in WWE versus just the stuff that she was doing in AEW, because there's not a training facility. Granted, they had the Nightmare Factory that was affiliated with AEW at one point, but I'm talking about somewhere where you can go every day to train. Mind you, she was going to the Nightmare, in addition to going to, and you know, to the Performance Center, she was working out at the Nightmare Factory with QT Marshall. Shout out to QT Marshall. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's Cody's school as well. Mm-hmm. Him and Cody have that school together, Nightmare Factory, down in Georgia. So, just, you know, for people to say that, I just think it was trash. But the finish was so cool because it reminded me of the finish from WrestleMania 35, where the Iconics won the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. They capitalized on you know, someone doing their finish, on Bianca doing the finisher, or Jade doing the finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Toss Jade out of the ring and cover Shayna Baszler for the 1-2-3. And we have new tag team champions, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, in front of their home country and their home crowd. It was incredible. It really was incredible.
It was a great moment. I think that it made sense. I don't know why everybody just, whenever Bianca and Jade or whoever dropped these titles, like, oh my God, they dropped the title. Like, do you think they're going to hold it forever? Do you think that they're going to book them? They're going to hold the tag team titles forever? Like, do you think that's a thing? Like, I don't understand how, I think that them losing in that moment made sense to me. I didn't see a problem with it.
No.
Everybody got to relax. You got to trust Trips. You got to trust the process. You got to listen. Like, you got to relax. Like, I'm sure there's a method to the madness behind it.
Absolutely there is. And I mean, there's bigger fish to fry down the road because we know where this is headed.
Absolutely.
If you're in the know, you know. And now, granted, do I want to see it happen? No.
But, like, it's going to be massive.
It's
going to,
absolutely, because if anything else, Bianca's already made. She's Teflon. There, you know what I mean? She could probably lose the match for the rest of her career and it don't matter. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's going to be little girls that's going to be coming there with their little braid, doing mm-hmm. that thing, watching her skip and do her thing and her sassy moves and all. And Bianca is just the all around WWE.
She's the female John Cena.
Absolutely. And I admired her work. Like I said, when she was in NXT, I said, oh, she's going to be it. She's going to be the it girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She truly is. And like I said, time will tell on, you know, where this is, you know, where this is going to go. Now, obviously, we'll talk about Raw in a bit, but there was a backstage vignette done on Monday where, you know, the new champions, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, were being interviewed. And of course, Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, you know, made their way to the, you know, confronted them, basically said, mm-hmm. hey, listen, we got our qualifying match for this Money in the Bank match, but just know, you keep those titles hot because we're coming for you. You know, I'm just paraphrasing, but I just think they want to keep that stove hot, which is great. You know what I mean? Because initially I thought that Alba Fire and Isla Dawn were going to be, they were heels. But mm-hmm. I think at this point, you got to turn them baby. What do you think?
I agree 100%.
Like I said, that match was 12 minutes, 10 minutes long. I mean, everyone got their stuff in, you know, has Bianca and Jade, have they named that move that their mm-mm. finisher? Because
they have not.
Man, if there was only one little thing I would have corrected, I would say they should have named that something, because that was very, very innovative, mm-hmm. you know, to come up with something like that. This episode of the D-Loop podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the D-Loop podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. But up next, we have for the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable. Now, once again, I'm thinking that I'm like, okay, Chad's going to walk out with the title now. And I'm thinking Chad's going to, you know, he's going to go out and do it. And man.
Not yet.
And kudos to Maxxine Dupri.
Yeah.
Kudos to Maxxine Dupri for, you know, taking that hit for the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And of course, you know, Chad Gable, you know, he's doing such a great job doing this whole bully thing. And it gives, I'm telling you, ever since he's, you know, obviously he got rid of the Shorty G thing, which we're gonna
glaze past that. Ever since
he's become Chad Gable again,
mm-hmm.
he reminds me of 2000s Kurt mm-hmm. Angle, just the way he speaks, not even just his rap, because we all know when you're an Olympian, you're thousands of miles ahead of everybody else. It's a collective group of people that can do that, and then there's everybody else. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So just the way he speaks, how intellectual he is when he's talking, how he's an Olympian and mm-hmm. I'm your coach. You're going to listen to me. Like just mm-hmm. little things like that just gives me Kurt Angle vibes. You know what yeah. I mean? All he needs is, I don't want to say gold medals, but if he can, you know, maybe shave his head a little bit.
Yeah, walk around with
the
milk.
Hair mattress, some milk, you know, we'll be in the house, but. You know, Sami Zayn, and I still feel that Sami Zayn is still working the underdog thing, which I think is great, you know, because I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Sami's losing the title. But no, not at all.
Not yet.
Sami, and they go 22 minutes, 15 seconds long. And I mean, this match was incredible. I enjoyed the match because it's really showing how much of a true superstar Chad Gable is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because obviously, you know, he was. You know, you could be pigeonholed for a while. Now, obviously, he was an American Alpha's tag team. They had minimal success. And, you know, of course, he was pigeonholed in that Shorty G gimmick. And he was basically going to be pigeonholed in that lower tier C-level spot where that's all you're going to be. But now they're giving him so much airtime, mic time, ring time to really show what this dude can do. I mean, I think his coming out match, obviously, was Gunther, you know, last year. You know what I mean? Everyone thought that he was going to beat Gunther for the title, which I thought was going to happen. But, you know, here we are months and months later and not the case. But Sami Zayn does defeat Chad Gable to retain the Intercontinental Championship. But after the match.
Long-term storytelling. Let's go.
Talk about it.
So I think that everyone wants Chad Gable to win right now, obviously. But I think that sometimes the chase is better than the moment. So I think him chasing championships and him breaking up their current stable and things like that, I think that, like, big picture, him winning, we would not have gotten all of these things.
Very true.
Especially with the interference and the accidental hits and things like that. Like, I just think that this makes more sense. Like, yes, you want him to win, but, like, let's look at how we get to that, right? Sometimes, again, that chase for that title and the things that happen. And
along the way, right.
Raw has been doing this really good thing with, like, paying attention to the background of, like, you're seeing somebody cut a promo and in the background you see somebody else talking.
Right.
And you see these things going on. Like, you really got to pay attention more. So I think that, again, like, I love the fact that, like, we're planting seeds. We're getting there. We'll get there at our time. Right. I mean, we all saw it was bound to happen with, what's his name?
Otis.
Yes. I keep thinking Otis and Tucky. I keep thinking Tucker. Anyway, here and there. With Otis and Maxine, like, we see this coming, right? But we also see, again, if you pay attention to the background, you see, like, his next stable kind of coming into play as well. So again, I can appreciate the journey to get us to the championship. And I think it'll be a cool moment during SummerSlam. And I do think it'll be a great moment for when, you know, I don't know if they'll show his family, but his family being there. I know he's a big family man. So I think it made sense to me. I like it.
But as a heel,
they're not going to show his family. But again, we know him enough to know, like, we've seen it. Like, he's a great family man. I think he would want his family there. So.
Oh, 100%. I agree.
I think it's a good build up to SummerSlam.
Maybe having the Creed brothers and Ivy Nile as his new stable.
Gotta pay attention.
Absolutely. It's been happening for weeks and, you know, just a matter of time. You know what I mean? So next is the singles match for the WWE Women's Championship with Bayley defending against Piper Niven with Chelsea Green in her corner, which, by the way, I gotta tell you, everyone's been crapping on Def Rebel and the music and stuff, but having Samantha Irvin do the Chelsea Green. Yeah, I popped huge for that. Let me just say that everyone didn't think that this match was going to be good, but they once again proved why they are two of the best women's wrestlers out there. I think I told you this before. The fact that the previous owner of WWE had Piper Niven and that the name that he gave her and what she was doing was an absolute travesty because she is far more talented than what they were doing for her.
So, fun fact, in WWE in the game, I want to say last year in the women's story mode, Piper was the champion for a while.
Really?
If you played the story mode last year's game, Piper was the champion.
That's incredible. And I mean, I remember Piper around the time, I guess, the Mae Young Classic, you started to see a lot of these women from all over the world, you know, come. You know what I mean? Obviously, Rhea Ripley was in that tournament.
Everybody was in that tournament.
Shayna was in the tournament, and she wasn't even signed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Tony was in that tournament. Mm-hmm. There were several people that are no longer with the company. Like, they got their big breaks from that tournament.
Absolutely. So, and Bayley, you know, again, the ultimate, you know, ring general in there. And I mean, they were, you know, Bayley has never had a bad match, in my opinion. She hasn't. And I remember when they threw out Chelsea Green, and then she comes back out with a lucha mask on. When you need comic relief, and this is where this is the difference of like being a wrestler and being a worker, because when you're a worker, you are truly an asset to any wrestling company. Chelsea Green can do it all. She can wrestle. She can, you know what I mean? She can do the technical stuff. She could do the all the gaga that's in there, and she can entertain. That's mm-hmm. the most important thing. She is so, like, she calls herself the hot mess. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If that's one phrase I could say, I guess that's it. She's calling herself that. I call it a hot mess. But just what she's able to do to garner attention and to get people to react, mm-hmm. that's the most important thing. And she has a lucha mask on. But Bayley does this, was this crucifix bomb, wherever it was that she did, mm-hmm. on Piper Niven to get the pin. I've never seen her use that move before. So I think Bayley's going to start adding more to her repertoire, her arsenal, so to speak. Your thoughts?
I think that Bayley, obviously, she is one of the four horsewomen. We know that. Mm-hmm. I think that Bayley is one of those people that we've seen where she can hang out in the background for a year and a half and lose the momentum and then show back up and pop up the champion. And like, you don't question it. It's like, oh yeah, that actually makes sense. Bayley being champion. And I love the fact that she's getting a true run, where she gets to obviously win matches, but she also helps people get over too. Like, winning does not always mean getting over. Getting over does not always mean winning. I think Bayley is a good person because, again, she makes other people look good. And that
she's
is
made a lot of people look good. That she's made a lot of people, yeah.
Cough, cough, Chris Jericho. Not everyone can get someone over while still looking good themselves.
Yeah, I mean, think about everyone that she's helped along the way. Mm-hmm. Being very, very selfless and being very, saying, you know what, though, it's not my time right now. It's their time to shine. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? But the one thing I would say that's something I didn't like about this title run is the fact that the lack of promotion.
She hasn't been in like anything. She hasn't been on no posters. Like, she's just been.
No.
Like, yeah.
Right. And I'm just like, okay, like, she's clearly head and shoulders above everybody, you know, male or female, in my opinion. She's mm-hmm. the top. I could put in the top 10.
You would never do that to Charlotte. You would never leave Charlotte off of it.
No, not at all.
So but it's like,
yeah, you kind of see it for what it is. But no, I admire Bayley's work, you know, ever since, you know, her early days in NXT when she basically like all of these young up and coming stars, 2012, 2013, 2014. And look at where they are 10 years later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just wish that they would promote her a little bit more, put her on those posters and give her those opportunities that everyone else is afforded. Just my opinion. Mm-hmm. So the main event is for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, Damian Priest defending against Drew McIntyre. You know, all of Judgment Day was barred from ringside per the stipulation last Monday. Mm-hmm. And we're all thinking it's going to happen. We're all thinking Drew is going to have that moment that he should have had 2 years ago with Clash mm-hmm. at the Castle. What he should have had at WrestleMania 36 when it was no fans in there at the Performance Center when he beat Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? So, hell of a match. You know, just what you, I mean, two big guys. I mean, they're both 6'5", 6'6". Yeah, I mean, they're big, yeah. And they did everything you could possibly think of that two big guys could do in a wrestling match. Mm-hmm. You know, big moves, you know, big power moves. You know, a few submission holds here and there. But, you know, the scary part was when Damian was trying to go over the rope and his leg got caught.
Again, rope issue.
Yeah, it was a rope issue. And I'm thinking, oh, God, like, are they going to have to end this match early? Are they going to have to, you know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen? So, of course, Drew McIntyre, I think the referee gets knocked out of the ring. Drew McIntyre hits the Claymore. And this is where I give WWE so much credit these days when it comes to details, camera angles, mm-hmm. and everything else.
Shots. Mm-hmm.
The shots. So when Drew is covering Drew and the crowd is counting 1, 2, 3, and they did a faraway shot of a referee running down the aisle, and then they had a cameraman right in the corner. So, and the referee counted 1, 2, and then Drew looks up, his eyes open, and it's the man I'm wearing right here, CM Punk with the 2. And man, you're talking about just, and I was like, yes.
Perfect.
And
he gets screwed.
Right. He yokes up Punk, and then Punk is giving him a nut shot, you know, a low blow. Kick to the groin
jewels,
area.
To the jewels.
And referee, you know, clears the cobwebs and counts 1, 2, 3, and still world heavyweight champion Damian Priest. Now, mind you, granted, the majority of the fans were booing the situation, but oh boy, there was a lot of Punk fans hugging him at ringside. Oh man. And they're doing so much without touching each other right now. Mm-hmm. Granted, he yoked up Punk, and Punk, you know, gave him the kick to the groin. But still, it's like, man, they're doing so much incredible storytelling just doing these little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we all know where this is headed. I believe SummerSlam is the destination in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And that's Punk's favorite city, quote unquote, if I might add. But your thoughts on the match and everything that happened in the aftermath?
Can I tell you how much I love where this is going? And like you mentioned, that it's just the camera angles. Everything just flows so perfectly now. And they had like the vignette, I say vignette, of like afterwards of him like watching it and then be like, I need your ref shirt. Give me the ref shirt. And then him running in like the clean cuts. Everything is so clean. Just the videographer, me, and loves that. But the storyteller, like, I love that this Punk Drew thing is just, it's perfect. They're not totally touching each other. I'm still screwing you over. Like, I love it. And I cannot wait. Honestly, they could stretch this shit out for like another year and I would not be upset. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I want it sooner than later, but I wouldn't be mad if we were getting this match like Survivor Series. I would not hate it, right? Like, I love it and I'm here for it and it's just perfect. And everyone was like, Punk's underneath the ring. It's like, not this time.
No. And I mean, like I said, it was the details of the cameras, the faraway shot, so you didn't know who was running to the ring. Mm-hmm. And then they had the corner shot where all you saw was the referee's legs. And mind you, he had long sleeves.
Because obviously, so you didn't catch the tattoos.
Yep. Right. It was just details. And this is where I know Punk is having a lot of fun there, and everyone's good because he's doing all these little things that he wasn't doing in AEW. I think he was trying to do in AEW, but it just wasn't. Right. So I think, to me, you know, Punk being where he is, he's where he should be, and this is where, you know, Triple H was saying, you know, when he came back at Survivor Series, Punk is home where he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's contributing he wants to be an asset to the product, that he's doing everything that he possibly can to ensure that he is an asset, whether it's on commentary, mm-hmm. pre-show, on a microphone, even in a referee. Nobody could touch him. You know what I mean? So, and of course, you know, Drew, you know, after the match is livid. He's, you know, choking the referee. He's like, did you see that? You know? Mm-hmm. And during the post show, Wade Barrett was livid. That man should be fired.
The little details.
Oh my God. Man, it just really goes to show you how invested everyone is in this story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm excited, you know, to see where it goes. I know Punk said during the post show that he had to go get checked out in Chicago this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be at SmackDown. He's going to be at SmackDown.
As will Drew, I'm sure.
This coming Friday. Yeah, and they're going to do, he's going to let everyone know that he's either, you know, whether he's cleared or not, which his roads are leading towards him announcing that he's clear. So so we'll tie the bow on Clash at the Castle. You know, obviously this past Monday, there was, you know, qualifying matches for the Money in the Bank. You know, obviously Jey Uso qualifying. Of course there is, because he has a poster. Mm-hmm. Yeet in the Bank, baby. That's right. And Io Sky in a damn good triple threat match, mm-hmm. you know, qualified, you know, for. And by the way, I love what they're doing with Kiana James. They're not giving her too much yet, but they're putting her in there, ingratiating her with some good talent. So she's working more and mm-hmm. she's getting comfortable. I love what they're doing with her. I love her gimmick. You know, the bags that she wears, you mm-hmm. know, the designer stuff, and just so I love that type of stuff. It reminds me of Missy Hyatt many years ago in the '80s when she used to have that loaded Gucci bag. Mm-hmm. I love it. But the ending of Raw, probably one of the most touching moments, one of the most, you know, I can't even put into words, you know, what that moment meant for so many involved in the company, outside, you know, of the company, and fans alike, seeing the debut of the Wyatt Six.
Perfect. Floor is yours. The best is perfect. It's just like, you can't tell, but like my got my chills going. Like, it just was right. Literally perfect. It was like 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It just finally, everyone's been talking about it, and like the teasers mm-hmm. and everything, and speculating yeah. who was going to be in it and all of the things. Mm-hmm. It just, even the lead up to it, people being attacked in the back, it just was literally perfection.
It was wild because, you know, of course, you know, Jey Uso wins the Money in the Bank qualifying match, and all of a sudden you heard the all the mm-hmm. lights are going out. And all you heard was the quarter note.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw this lantern in the hall. Obviously, you saw that same door that we saw at Extreme Rules 2 years ago in Philly. Mm-hmm. I was there for that. And of course, we see it's Nikki Cross mm-hmm. that's crawling her way to that lantern. And all she does was she points, like, look what we did. And all you see Huskus the Pig. You see all these different characters from the Firefly Funhouse.
They're back.
And you see a dead Chad Gable. I mean, my man was like, yep. The freaking blood all over his face. It looked like it was such a gory horror movie.
Again, and if you're paying attention in the background, you would have seen Chad Gable being on their list. Again, Rod makes you think.
CG.
And the CG. Thank yous. And the thank yous.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
but yes, like, all, once again, it just goes into like paying attention to the little small details that like Raw has been really like honing in on lately. And again, it just was just pure perfection. It was done right. It was done at the great time. And I look forward to seeing where this goes.
I am too. And of course, you know, you see Uncle Howdy, Bo Dallas, Taylor Rotunda, whatever you want to call him, making his way. And then they all come out and they say, we're here. And they blow out the lantern.
The lantern.
And I'm
got
like,
chills.
Now, Bully Ray brought this up yesterday on Busted Open. And I see what he was saying, but I don't know if it would have been too soon. If they would have had old footage of Bray saying we're here.
Too soon.
That was way too soon.
I think it's too soon.
I
think
get
the moment
it.
Was enough. I think the emotion was there. It was implied. Everything was good. But I think that they should have their own moment without, I mean, we all know Bray is looking down on them and Bray is involved in this, but I think that it's too much right now.
I'm not sure if JoJo and the kids were ready for that. I'm not sure if his dad is ready for that, or his brothers, you know, even Bo, or even his sister Micah, you know, mm-hmm. they're Bo, you know, Bray's parent, you know what I mean? His mom, dad, and, you know, the whole Wyndham and Rotunda families. Like, we don't know, you know, if they would have given the okay on that or not. So I don't think, I mean, I understand what Bully was saying in regards to kind of a passing of the torch, but I think the torch is passed.
I think the torch was passed a while ago when this was, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it needed that. I think that it would have been too much. I think they did just enough, you know? No one to pull back.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And now their merchandise is already selling well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're, it's incredible. And I'm interested to see what happens next. Now, the Wyatt Six consists of Bo Dallas, who is Uncle mm-hmm. Howdy. Nikki Cross, who I would imagine is going to be Sister Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Gacy as Huskus the Pig.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a damn good casting.
Yeah.
When I saw this, when Eric had that mallet.
His mallet,
With the Bludgeon Brothers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Again, it's just enough. It's just enough where you know it. You know what I mean? Like, you knew that was his mallet. You knew that was Brody's mallet. You knew that that was Bray's lantern. Like, it's just enough. You don't need to do, you know what I mean? Like, it's just.
And Howdy had on a glove that had Bray on it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So.
Just enough.
It was a lot of good touches in there. And I mean, heck, Triple H tweeted a picture of Bray Wyatt, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody knew. So I'm sure they're going to play this out the way that Bray would have wanted it, with obviously some WWE input, and they're going to do it right, I think. And mm-hmm. we're going to see what happens. I mean, are we going to have the Firefly Funhouse back? Are we going to have, you know, all of the, we don't know. Like, I'm interested to see now, okay, where do we go?
Right,
I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So it was only a matter of time until, you know, when will we see them wrestle? I don't know. If they could do vignettes for 2 or 3 months, I'm fine with that.
Fine by me.
Wow, unbelievable. Then, of course, you know, NXT took place last night. We're recording this again on a Wednesday morning or early Wednesday morning. And there was a 25-man battle royal to determine who faces the champ, Trick Williams. And I know they said it could be anybody from any other company. And you heard it. Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Oh my God. You want to talk about a guy that would fit very, very well in NXT to get eventually to a live WWE crowd would be Joe Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
I love it. Frankie Kazarian was there as well. Those were two. I mean, I think we all knew Joe Hendry was coming, so like that doesn't count. But I didn't see Kazarian. I would have liked to see other people from TNA Impact. But yeah, I can appreciate it. I guess my big thing right now would be, is TNA kind of concerned that they're grooming their people? Because we all know Jordynne Grace is coming over. We know that.
Jordynne, her let's just say this call for what it is. Her transformation over the last 2.5-3 years
insane.
Has been insane.
I thought she was always a WWE girl, even when she wasn't.
No. I agree. No, I agree. 100%. I thought when she was doing the thick mama pump thing, mm-hmm. when she was body slamming fans on wrestlers and stuff like that, I thought it was good even back then. But the work that she put in to looking like a Greek goddess, mm-hmm. it's like, my God, like, it's just a matter of sign dotted line. What are you waiting? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that with her, I hope that they do something with Jonathan Gresham. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I like him. I like the gimmick he's doing. It was very, very dark with that mask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that would be interesting mm-hmm. to see. I could see it on WWE television, but I think he would do well in NXT as well.
Okay. I don't know if he is the WWE type. I'll just leave it at that.
Explain.
I don't know if he's so small. I don't mm-hmm. know if he fits the WWE, like the typical WWE superstar, you know? I'd love to see it.
Right.
But I just don't know if he is a WWE, if he'll get over in WWE.
This is why I say that maybe the Cruiserweight title would benefit. Because.
And also, I don't want to see him in NXT. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he has. But I mean, if you put if they brought the Cruiser, but I'm and again, he also has trained people as well.
Yeah,
and he has his own. He's years. Been in a big right. So I've met Jordan and Jonathan a couple times when I was at Impact. As a matter of fact, Jordan modeled one of my t-shirts a couple years ago. She graciously did that, and I appreciate that. But Jonathan, you know, has been around, and he had his own promotion at one point down in Atlanta, but. I think, like I said, if they had the Cruiserweight title and made that a SmackDown exclusive, I wouldn't mind that. Mm-hmm. Because the dude can wrestle. He could, I mean, he could really, really go. And maybe some of those smaller guys that are there at NXT, if they move eventually move up to the main roster, whatever the case may be, they have somebody they can work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying pigeonhole him there, but I mean, I understand with the height and stuff like that, you know, it could be a little bit difficult. But again, it is a different era now.
It is.
You know, obviously, you know, if we were in the previous regime, I'd have my concerns if they signed him. But I think with what they're doing today, you know, with their stars, I mean, it, regardless of size or whatever the case may be, you just never know. I mean, hell, think about it this way. If you would have told me 25 years ago, that I would have seen Bryan Danielson main event WrestleMania 30, I probably would have thought you were out of your complete mind. But Vince saw the writing on the wall of like, look, you know, we got to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heck, even the man that I will never mention on this show was in a triple threat match at WrestleMania 20.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that would ever happen, mm-hmm. but it did. So you never know.
True.
In the world of professional wrestling, you never, never know.
Very true.
So as we wrap up here, you know, right now, obviously, we're heading into Money in the Bank, which is in a couple of weeks. You know, any preliminary, and we're going to do our Money in the Bank, you know, preview show. We'll save our predictions for that. We'll give me and Gabby some time to kind of let it marinate a little bit on who we think is going to, you know, win the men and women's Money in the Bank matches. Obviously, there'll be more matches announced as time is more to come, but it will be in Toronto, Canada. So of course we're going to be watching it on a Saturday night this time around because yep. we're back on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe WrestleMania was the last premium live event that it's been in the United States. And guess what? After SummerSlam, you figure it's Money in the Bank in Canada, SummerSlam's in America and Cleveland. And at the end of the month, they're going right back to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the October pay-per-view is, but I know Crown Jewel is going to be in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're really putting, like I said, putting world and world wrestling entertainment more than you know. So, as always, give out your social media handles where the people can follow you on there.
You guys can find me at Charm City Gabby on all social media.
Well, I have it listed here as well. And if in case you guys can see it on the screen, you know, Charm City Gabby, you can follow her on there. You know, of course, you can follow me on all my socials at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derrick T. Lewis official page. But you know, Gabby, as always, I thank you very much for your contributions to the show. And we'll definitely be talking soon.
All right.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of the DLU podcast. Again, I thank Gabby always for her contributions to the show. And like I said, you know, the sky's the limit for what we're doing. And speaking of which, you know, next week's episode is probably one of the best interviews that I've done, you know, in the history of this podcast. You know, I had an opportunity to sit down with author of the book that's going to be coming out in March, you know, about the NWO, Mark Raimondi. You know, he's going to be on the show. He's also a beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons. And we really discussed the timeline, you know, of, you know, how the NWO and WCW started, and then how he got tapped on the shoulder to actually write this book. You know, Simon & Schuster, who's an acclaimed publishing company, you know, reached out to him, and they saw, you know, a lot of his work, you know, from a journalistic perspective, and being able to say, hey, you know, we want you to write this book. So, you know, I reached out to him, and once he had made the announcement that the book was coming next March, and he agreed to come on to the DLU podcast. So that's coming next Thursday. So make sure that you subscribe to the DLU podcast on all platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course, YouTube. Make sure that you're checking that out. You know, a really good friend of mine, Dallas Hart, who happens to be the son of WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart, he is the promoter for the wrestling promotion Dungeon Wrestling up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So for all of you that are in Western Canada, you know, Vancouver, then of course Edmonton, Calgary, of course if you're in Regina or Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, or if you're in Washington State, you know, Montana, that entire region. If you happen to, you know, want to take a trip, you know, this weekend to Calgary, spend the weekend up there, do so. But I urge you to check out Dungeon Wrestling's Stampede Wrestling that takes place this Friday night at the Victoria Pavilion in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to dungeonwrestling.ca. You can order your tickets. Now check this out. Their mainstays, guys like Tommy Billington, who wrestled Dax Harwood on AEW's Collision a few weeks ago, had a great outing with him. Of course, my boy Mo Jabari, who's been making waves. You know, you've seen him on AEW television several times, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be on your television soon. But there's going to be some former WWE superstars, guys like Fandango, the Masterpiece Chris Masters, and of course, Enzo Amore. The list goes on and on of the stars you're going to see on this show. Again, June 21st, this Friday, Stampede Wrestling. That's ran by Dungeon Wrestling. So make sure you check that out. You know, you can follow the D-Loop Podcast on X/Twitter, Instagram, and also Facebook. It's the D-Loop Podcast, at the D-Loop Podcast. And of course, you can follow me on our social media at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis official page. My merchandise, again, is available on Pro Wrestling Tees. You can go to pwt.derektlewis.com. And you can also go to my actual store, which has all your Lucietta Music themed hoodies, tees, mugs, and also tote bags, shop.derektlewis.com. Well, I'm going to get out of here. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.